truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
I heard what he said, but I'm sure not. I'm not. It wasn't really clear.
I've been in the Senate for 33 years, and they claim that. And I don't even know if that's true.
Chris, you and I have made controversial statements. The Reverend Al Sharpton and the
This is all about taxes. And there's a belief that until the economy recovers, we simply...
I've used the N-word most of my life.
Holy boobs.
World famous Phil Hendry Show, the groundbreaking Phil Hendry Show, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. A news, talk, and entertainment show that takes you through the looking glass. Talk radio. And welcome to our program tonight. We will be welcoming on a special guest at 11 o'clock Pacific, 2 a.m. Eastern. That would be Don Berman, who is the Emmy Award-winning anchor of Channel 13 News. On this balloon chase, this runaway balloon, the little boy, was he in the balloon? Was he a balloon? Was he doing balloons? The whole balloon thing, right? And then coming up at, I believe, midnight Pacific, and that would be 3 a.m. Eastern, we have Doug Danger, who is an entertainment writer for the Orange County Courier. He'll be talking, though, about his experience as an embedded journalist in Afghanistan and why the journalists have fought so vigorously against the banning of these war zone photographs of injured or dead soldiers and why he is in favor of having those photographs published, and a great many journalists, photojournalists and others, do agree with him. Welcome to our program. The first thing I'd like you to know is that we're right now streaming live video on our website, so if you want to watch the show, you can do so at www.philhendryshow.com. We also have live streaming audio and downloads available there each and every day. And our number is 877-876-PHIL, and we're also on Facebook at facebook.com/PhilHendry, and at Twitter, which is twitter.com/RealPhilHendry. I have to admit to you that because of the late hours that I keep around here, I was not privy to the gripping scene of this balloon floating across the countryside with what people thought was with a child on board. And it turned out there wasn't any kid in the balloon. It turned out it was just a balloon, a funny-looking balloon, a balloon that looked like a flying saucer, and a balloon that has some people suspecting that the family that was the owner of the balloon maybe, you know, like I said, they may be doing balloons. But let's find out. In Fort Collins, Colorado, a six-year-old boy was found hiding in the attic at home on Thursday, several hours after the runaway flight of his family's experimental balloon riveted the nation and led to a frantic search for this child, who was feared to have fallen from the craft at one point. Naturally, people thinking the worst. And I suppose on some level it would have made for better television, although it would have been a horrible tragedy had that been the case. The news that the boy was safe at home came during an afternoon press conference with Larimer County Sheriff's Office officials, Larimer County in Colorado. Apparently the boy's been at home the whole time, said Sheriff Jim Aldrin. Now, why did they think this kid was on board the balloon? Because a brother, one of the boy's older brothers, had initially told authorities he saw his brother climb into a box compartment attached to the bottom of the balloon before it became untethered and took off. The giant silver balloon's bizarre two-hour flight played out live on television, captivating viewers across the country. The balloon rotated slowly in the wind, flipped precariously at times, or tipped rather precariously at times, during its journey before coming down in a dirt field in neighboring Weld County, 50 miles away from where it took off. Deputies rushed to the scene and corralled and deflated the balloon but found no sign of the boy. The child's name, Falcon Heen. And they're investigating that because, frankly, that...
What do you mean?
I'm kidding. They're not... don't you think that sounds a little weird? Kid named Falcon Heen?
Well, you never can really tell about how people, you know... I don't know.
Yeah, okay, well, thanks for that. Anyway,
I think the name weird, man, Falcon...
Well, so the cat's name is Falcon, and maybe that's that whole high country Midwest thing, you know, where they all those cats, all those Mormons have funny names. I don't want to begin that. People are going to think I'm a racist, even though it's got nothing to do with race. It just has to do with funny names. Anyway, deputies rushed to the scene. They corralled the balloon. The balloon was taken into custody, but the boy's fine. The boy's family, who earlier this year appeared in a reality television show about wife swapping. Now, this is what's got a lot of people thinking. That maybe there's just more to this family.
This makes me a slut.
Than some people think. Because here's the thing. If they are into reality television, is it a stretch to say, well, maybe they're looking for a little cheap publicity? If they're into a little cheap publicity, is it a stretch to say that maybe they're looking for something more than cheap publicity? Maybe they're looking for extra special cheap publicity, as in national coverage of a balloon. I'm looking at this thing on TV right now. It is definitely, in my opinion, created to look like some sort of flying saucer. And why it has to look like a flying saucer, I guess it's because that's what our image of a UFO is, although I have heard of the cigar-shaped or the cigar-shaped UFO, and why they don't have more of those is anybody's guess. Anyway, Kevin Kuturek or Kuturek or Krukuki or I don't know how to pronounce this cat's name. But
I find him terrifying.
Anyway, Kevin Kuturek of the Colorado Division of Emergency Management said the craft had some kind of electric power unit, which was run by double C batteries. Yeah, I'll bet it was. And anyway,
this makes me a slut.
He said the balloon did seem to be big enough to carry a six-year-old child. The craft somehow became loose and the balloon took off. It was airborne for more than 2 hours and glided through two counties. All right, now, there was an interview today. It was conducted by Wolf Blitzer, although it was the father who was doing most of the conducting. And we'll also hear from Sheriff Jim Alderon. This is the sheriff who announced the so-called balloon boy, I guess is what they're calling him. Falcon Heen has been found alive.
We just talked to the investigator on scene, Investigator Robert Heffernan. Apparently the boy's been there the whole time. He's been hiding in a box, cardboard box, in the attic above the garage. We don't know why, but it's not unusual that we have these missing children case that they see all the commotion. You know, they hear people looking for them. They get afraid that they're going to be in trouble, so they hide. I don't know if that's the fact, but you know, the fact that he was found in a box, in the attic, in the garage, rather suggests that. But I guess the good news is that he's fine.
Joan, what do you think?
That's crap.
That's what I think. Anyway, members of the press wonder if this was an elaborate stunt by the family, which has twice appeared on ABC's Wife Swap.
Said about them seeing him in this, crawl into the box attached to the balloon beforehand. Do you believe that they were telling the truth when they gave those statements?
Well, again, that was a 7 or 9 year old boy that told us that, but that's what he said, is that he saw his brother climb into that apparatus, and he was very adamant. They interviewed him multiple times, and that was his consistent story.
So we're not part of a reality TV show.
I'll leave you that conjecture on your part, but I understand what you're saying.
What do you think, Joe?
That's crap.
That's what I think. Also, Balloon Boy's father and mother, Richard and Matumi, speak to reporters after they found their son.
A lot of.
Oh, gosh. Yes.
Yeah. Okay, shoot. Really, yeah. Thanks for reminding me.
I really want to thank the local police department, Larimer County Sheriff. I want to thank the news helicopters that were helping out in the search. I heard from the police department they were out there first.
Thank you so much.
Yes.
Sure.
They got reports back.
No problem, man.
That kept us on informed.
As the sheriff's department said, whether it's sending you a bill for the resources.
Gosh, I hope not.
Yeah.
Oh, it's big.
Yeah, well, you know what? He sounds like he was just kidding around there when he said, gosh, I hope not. But on CNN today, Falcon may have indicated this was a hoax when he tells Wolf Blitzer he didn't respond to the people looking for him because he was told, we did this for the show. Let's listen to this.
He's asking Falcon, did you hear us calling your name at any time?
Mm-hmm.
You did?
You did?
Why didn't you come out?
You guys said that we did this for the show.
Man.
No.
Then he farted.
You didn't come out?
No.
Because you did it for the show. And then he said,
your dirty sex makes scars and hurricanes.
Also, Blitzer follows up, but the father, Richard, doesn't address what his son meant when he said, we did this for the show.
I heard what he said, but I'm not, it wasn't really clear. What was his reasoning why he heard you screaming, Falcon, Falcon? And I'm sure he heard his mom screaming, Falcon, Falcon. But why didn't he come out of the garage at that point?
Well, you know, whenever we tell him things like, you know, it's a bad thing to do, he does go and hide. He cowls down. And like if we go to the store and he wants to buy some candy or something, I have to tell him no. So he's always behind. I mean, the other boys are always telling him, hurry, Falcon, hurry.
Yeah, right.
So he does... Just tend to do that.
Okay, great. So, but toward the end of the show, Blitzer finally asked what Falcon meant when he said, we did it for the show, and Richard gets angry.
You want to ask him now? I don't know if he can hear me. What he meant by what he said, we did this for the show? You want to ask Falcon?
Duncan, they want to know. They want to know why you were in the attic, okay, for so long, and why you say it again.
Why he said? At least he said we did this for the show, in explaining why he didn't come out of the attic.
Let me interrupt this real quick because see the direction you guys are hedging on this.
Sure.
Because earlier you had asked the police officers some questions. The media out front, we weren't even going to do this interview. And I'm kind of appalled after all of the feelings that I went through up and down that you guys are trying to suggest something else, okay? I'm really appalled.
Well, what feelings did you go through when you knew that your son wasn't in that balloon in the first place? You knew that the kid was hiding because you said, the little boy, we did it for the show. What feelings exactly were you going through other than glee and joy and sort of smirking to yourself, sir? I mean, it's a good question. And, of course, with the cost to the local emergency authorities, the emergency response, the police, God knows. I realize we put everything in dollars and cents these days only because that's what people relate to more rapidly probably than anything other than maybe, actual, danger to people. The next thing we worry about is how much this cost us. So how much did it cost? Well, not us. But your friends and neighbors there in Colorado. So anyway, coming up, we got Don Berman. He'll talk about that. But the whole thing, in my opinion, smells just a little foul. It's got a faint scent of decaying something. The balloon's there. The kid's gone. Where is he? I saw him get in. No, he isn't. He's hiding. And the father's getting pissed. And how dare you ask the question? You probably could understand from the standpoint of the reporters why they're asking that question there, Mr. Falcon Sr., or whatever your name is. Coming up, an interracial couple is denied their marriage license in Louisiana. All right, finally. Finally, sense is finally, common sense is prevailing. I'm kidding. That and more on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, including not just the interracial couple, but Meghan McCain and her supposedly large breasts in a photograph on Twitter. I say supposedly because it looks like a fisheye lens to me. But we'll find out. World-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. I got no problem with a family trying to make a dollar. I mean, if this is how they earn their living, reality shows, I get it. Hoaxes can be fun. They can be a lot of fun if nobody gets hurt. I do, as I said when I got married, believe that when you are involving the good, hard work of cops and people like that, see, there is a law against that. Believe it or not, there's a law. There's a law against creating a public emergency that can induce a panic, and not so much because it induces panic, but because it causes emergency services to go into action, which is a obvious strain on the system itself. If we had other more urgent needs, if the people there in Laramie County had other more urgent needs, and the emergency services were otherwise indisposed because they had to go look for some kid in a flying, in a balloon that was shaped like a flying saucer, somebody's going to have to answer for that at the end of the day, You guys are running around looking for it. Well, we thought a kid was in it. You thought a kid was in it. Why? Because the kid said, now I heard that little boy say that we did it for the show, and then the old man gets pissed off. You got a lot to answer for there, Mr. Heen. Number one, why'd you name your kid Falcon? And number two, I hope he ain't Falcon Jr. And number three, oh, you mean your name is John? Never mind. How come if you got a perfectly normal name, you saddle your kid with a name like that? But the point is, why don't you call your other kid Snowman?
Oh, the Falcon and the Snowman, that'd be great. Because
I understand. It's just the point is that if you're a showbiz dad, I get that. If you are a showbiz family, I get that. But I've been told my entire career that if you do anything on the air in the nature of a hoax that causes an inordinate interest by law enforcement or emergency services, this can create a strain and put lives in jeopardy who otherwise might need those services, and therefore you are in fact breaking the law. You're committing a felony, right? So I don't know who these weird asses are. I've been around these showbiz families before, though. I can tell you that right now. And they're a real different breed. Don't worry about that. They're real. Oh, yeah, they're real different. They're real weird, man. And I'm not saying they're all sick. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that they are all somehow, you know, criminal or parents that are negligent or any of those things. I'm just saying that there is a psychological dynamic that's kind of funky, you know. And I think the sooner you get that thing cleared up, so you go over to the guy and you say, did you guys do this for the show or didn't you? Get the cops over there and sweat this guy down and find out. I'm really offended by that. Well, you may be offended. I'm going to ask it again. Did you do this for the TV show? Did the kid know? What did you tell the kid? Did you guys set this up? Yes or no? Right now, want answers? Go. Well, how dare you? All right, well, you don't answer the question now. We'll just keep right on asking it because we think maybe you did this on purpose and you had a whole country of people not only worried for the life of this kid, although I have to tell you, it wouldn't have bothered me if we'd shot it out of the air with a Stinger missile. It would have been your kid's death on your conscience, but they're feeling kind of stupid right now. Well, that's their problem. Really? Well, we're going to make it your problem. So we'll get into that with Don Berman. Later on, we have Doug Danger from the Orange County Courier on these photographs that they are saying now may be allowed from the war theater there in Afghanistan, although they did want to prohibit the taking of pictures and the transmission of pictures that involved injured or dead American soldiers. In Hammond, Louisiana, Louisiana Justice of the Peace said he refused to issue a marriage license to an interracial couple. He refused to issue a marriage license to an interracial couple, and the reason he gave for it was simply,
I hate Barack Obama.
No, the reason why he said he didn't want to do it is he was concerned for the children. He was concerned for the children of an interracial couple. His name is Keith Bardwell, Justice of the Peace, in a place called Tangipahoe Parish. And he says it's his experience that most interracial marriages do not last long. How does he know? He's been married to 6 or 7 black women, and, you know...
Really?
No, I don't know really or not. But it sounds to me like he thinks he's got some kind of information that the rest of us don't have. Anyway, Bardwell, Justice of the Peace there in Tangipahoe Parish, wherever the hell this is, was not immediately returning phone calls, nor was the couple from the Associated Press. But Bardwell said, told the Daily Star of Hammond that he was not a racist. Of course he isn't. Even though
I've used the N-word most of my life.
He does do these ceremonies for black peoples right here in his house at Bardwell. He said, my main concern is for the children. Bardwell said he's discussed the topic with blacks and whites, along with witnessing some interracial marriages. So he's actually been there when, you know, black and white have gotten married. So he's witnessed this with his own eyes. And he came to the conclusion that most of the black society does not readily accept offspring of such relationships, and neither does white society. I don't do interracial marriages because I don't want to put children in a situation they didn't bring on themselves, said Bardwell. In my heart, I feel the children will later suffer. So that's a convenient excuse. There's only one problem. He's breaking the law. He's breaking the law. The ACLU was preparing a letter for the Louisiana Supreme Court, which oversees the state justices of the peace, asking them to investigate Bardwell and see if they can remove him from his office. He knew he was breaking the law, but he continued to do that, according to a spokesman for the ACLU. According to the clerk of court's office, application for a marriage license must be made 3 days before the ceremony because there is a 72-hour waiting period. The applicants are asked if they have previously been married. If so, they must show how the marriage ended, such as divorce. Other than that, all they need is a birth certificate and a Social Security card. You cannot deny people marriage based upon race. The license fee is $35. The license must be signed by Louisiana minister, justice of the peace, or a judge. The original return of the clerk. That's it, baby. So this guy Bardwell sounds to me like he's, well, he may have the concern of the children at heart. He may have the concern of the couple at heart. He may just be some unreconstructed racist, although that word doesn't mean anything anymore. We're going to have to find another word. How about dumbass or ignoramp, something, any word that works, because racist doesn't mean anything anymore to people. Glenn Beck's a racist, you know. Karl Rove's a racist. Hell, Barack Obama's a racist. Everybody's a racist. Everybody's a racist except this guy.
I've used the N-word most of my life.
All right, Rush Limbaugh lashes out at the NFL Players Union and the Obama presidency for blocking his bid to buy the St. Louis Rams and keep them in St. Louis. You know, Rush, if you wanted to buy the St. Louis Rams and move them back to L.A., I'd be in your corner 3,000%. As it is, there isn't anything I can do, brother. 877-876-PHIL, world famous, groundbreaking Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
I've used the N-word most of my life.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Coming up at the top of the hour, Emmy Award-winning news anchor from the Channel 19 News, Don Berman, talking with us about this balloon boy and the phenomenon of stage parents, stage families, as we enter this new world of so-called reality television, which I watch True TV. They like to use the term actuality because they realize that the term reality has been cheapened. Reality television today is no more than non-professional actors, that is, amateurs, if you will, who are improvising a scene for the camera. They know that they are on camera. They know that they don't have a script, but they know they have to create something. And so when you watch some of these reality shows, like I watch this show L.A. Inc., which is embarrassingly bad. Embarrassingly bad. I mean, I didn't watch Miami Inc. I think that was the first show. And why would I want to watch a show about a tattoo parlor? I don't understand. So I get it that it's about, it's a real world based in a tattoo parlor, okay? If you guys want to do a really interesting show, why don't you do a tattoo parlor show from like one of them tattoo parlors where they don't use rubber gloves, you know, or maybe somebody can get a disease or something. I don't know. But in any event, you can see that they are putting on the emotion for the camera. So it's not even reality. So actuality, I suppose, is a better description of something that's really happening. It's actually happening, and so therefore, you know, you can trust it. Anyway, Don's going to be talking about that, and then we'll have Doug Danger on concerning the Afghan photograph prohibition. Now on to Rush Limbaugh, and conservative talk show host Rush Limbaugh today on his show blamed the National Football Players Union, among numerous others, for blocking his attempts to secure partial ownership of the St. Louis Rams. As you heard yesterday, Limbaugh was dropped on Wednesday from a bid spearheaded by sports executive Dave Checkitz, a Mormon. I'm joking, but I mean, Margaret brought that up.
Yeah, she said he was with the Latter-day Saints.
Right. But that's not the team. What do you mean that's not the team?
The New Orleans Saints.
Yeah, the Latter-day Saints is it? No, it's not the team. What, do you think they're called the New Orleans Latter-day Saints?
I don't know. I'm just checking.
Yeah, Uncle, I'm glad you checked. Anyway, Dave Checkitz, he checked. He checks all the time, man. On his radio program Thursday morning, Limbaugh said he always knew his participation in the bid would be controversial, but he said Checkitz had visited him earlier this year with assurances that Limbaugh's involvement had been vetted by the NFL. I said to him at this meeting, said Mr. Limbaugh, are you aware of the firestorm that this will lead to? We wouldn't have approached you if we hadn't taken care of that, Limbaugh said, adding that Checkitz told him the green light had come from the highest levels of the league. Is Mr. Limbaugh lying? Did Mr. Limbaugh get it wrong? Did he misinterpret or misunderstand Mr. Checkitz? Even though NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell this week expressed misgivings about Limbaugh's potential involvement, Limbaugh said he still loved the NFL and would likely be the biggest non-paid promoter of the sport ever. Last week, the Daily News reported the opposition among players to Limbaugh's involvement with the NFL. Limbaugh said Checkitz called him on Tuesday of this week, and asked him to withdraw from the bidding group. Limbaugh claimed he refused, forcing Checkitz to go public and to fire him. Now, among those who had been critical of this, Al Sharpton, who has his own radio show, the Reverend, very happy with the news that Rush was dropped from his attempt to own a National Football League team.
Yesterday, after going off the air, Rush Limbaugh, who we had started our campaign on Monday, was withdrawn by those that are trying to buy the St. Louis Rams. Mm-hmm. His name withdrawn. He's effectively out of it as mm-hmm. we want it. He's belly aching and he's making all kinds of attacks on Nash Action Network and I. But that's the screeching of the defeated. Defeated not by me, not by Nash Action Network, not by other civil rights groups or the left or liberals. Defeated by his own words that he said against NFL players. And probably to his surprise, the NFL players stood up and said, you cannot disparage us and then want to be an owner in our world.
So, you know, Al put it to Rush. And
well, I hope you knew to use a condom.
So here he is now going on with Chris Matthews. Sharpton says there was no conspiracy to remove Rush from consideration for buying the Rams.
If you want to be an NFL owner, you have to be accountable for what you say about those that generate the money in that league. And I think that Mr. Limbaugh, who has made a career out of holding people accountable, had to be accountable to his own statements. And I think he ultimately was. Let's remember here, Chris, his name was withdrawn by those that submitted his name. The NFL, nobody disqualified him. They withdrew his name. So he can have all these grandiose ideas of a conspiracy. What sacked him was the people that brought him to the party withdrew him from the party.
All right, MSNBC political analyst Pat Buchanan defends Rush on Hardball.
Chris, you and I have made controversial statements. The Reverend Al Sharpton in the Tawana Brawley case and the Duke rape case, which turned out to be a hoax, have made statements we regret and apologize for. At the same time, to blacklist an individual, just like they used to do out in Hollywood when they were communists, cost them their job because of something they said when those folks did terrible things. To do this to Rush Limbaugh, look, I heard his statement on Donovan McNabb. Look, we talked in the campaign. Journalists went in the tank for Barack Obama. Some of us said that. Does that disqualify us from a job? He was wrong about McNabb. McNabb had a great season that year, so he made a wrong statement. You deny a man a position like that, this is blacklisting in my judgment. It's contemptible. Liberals used to condemn it.
All right, see, what a lot of people don't know about Donovan McNabb, most of the people who have been weighing in on Limbaugh's comments about Donovan McNabb when he made those comments on that ESPN show that he'd been hired to be a part of, and I forget who the other guys were, forgettable. In fact, Rush was pretty forgettable on that show. In fact, I don't even know if that show's still on the air. It was some kind of a whatever it was. All right. Most people who are commenting on Limbaugh saying what he said about Donovan McNabb don't know anything about football. They don't follow football. And they don't realize that when he said what he said about McNabb, McNabb had yet to really set fire to the NFL. Now, the irony is that season, 2003, he had a pretty good season. The next year, the Eagles went to the Super Bowl. So Rush's timing couldn't have been worse, but the analysis was not so far off from the standpoint of a guy giving his opinion as to why it is Donovan McNabb gets a lot of props. Now, it does show you how badly Rush analyzes the game of football. People were propping Donovan McNabb because they saw great potential in him as a player, not because he was black. Rush did not see that potential, couldn't figure out why people thought McNabb was potentially a great quarterback. He was big, strong, had a hell of an arm. He roamed out of the pocket, which some people give value to in the National Football League. Maybe even coaches, maybe the professionals do. I've never seen a team win the NFL with a scrambling quarterback. I could be wrong. Jeff Hostetler won it when the Giants won it one year, but Jeff Hostetler was... He was not the reason they won the Super Bowl. They had a great defense that year. But the point that I'm making, I don't even know if Hostetler was the quarterback that year. Maybe he was quarterback in the Raiders or something. But anyway, the fact is that Rush made that comment not based upon any real information. It was his view. They've got to be propping this guy because he sucks. And he did. He did suck. McNabb was terrible. He had a slow start in the National Football League. He eventually did, however, quarterback his team to the playoffs and to a Super Bowl, and quite frankly, his performances in the playoffs have been, you know, been given varying grades, from pretty good to not so hot to the guy, quite frankly, is a quitter. I mean, I've heard all kinds of things about Donovan McNabb. Is it because he's a black quarterback? Well, we all remember a guy by the name of Doug Williams who quarterbacked the Redskins to a phenomenal Super Bowl win. Doug Williams threw three or four touchdown passes in one quarter. We know black quarterbacks who have achieved great things in the National Football League. There may be some crackers out there that still think blacks can't quarterback football teams. Limbaugh can't be one of them. Limbaugh's just not a very good football analyst. That's all. That's the number one thing you could accuse him of, I think. The other problem that Limbaugh's got is this. This statement about the Crips and the Bloods, he's got to interpret that. All these other comments that people say he's made, that he says he hasn't made, he has to sue. He has no choice. Otherwise, Rush, you're full of crap, okay? Plain and simple. I understand it's not fair. It isn't fair. If people say things about you that are not true, it is not fair. And we have recourse in our society. If they put together a consumer boycott, they keep you out of a job, they keep you from earning a living. There's no law that says people can't boycott you. People can, and they will. If they don't like you, they won't patronize your business, plain and simple. If they're encouraged not to patronize your business because of things that you have said, there is nothing illegal criminally about that. But you have recourse in the civil courts to sue for libel. That means if you can prove that people have made statements that are untrue about you and it has caused you a loss of commercial commerce, a loss, in other words, of income, by God, you can sue for damages and you'll win. So at this point in the Rush Limbaugh controversy slash news story slash football analyst travails, the story of the St. Louis Rams and whether they're staying in St. Louis or whether they're just going to get lost and go someplace else. This would be their fourth city since they first came into the National Football League in the late 30s. The story is this. If you have a claim, Rush, then sue, man, sue. Sue them till they're bleeding from every hole. Pardon me for putting it that way, but you know what I'm saying is right. The people that are listening to me right now know that it's right. And if you don't, if you decide to let it slide, then you've let it slide. And people are not going to be so quick to come to your defense in the future. But I'm telling you right now, it's the only way that you can gain back, in my opinion, some of the momentum in this. Because these people have thrown these things out there. You say they're not true. All right. I'm willing to believe you because I happen to know what you do for a living. And I happen to do the same thing. I don't do what you do, but I'm in the same business, and I know how people will take something that you say, and because they're ignoramuses and they don't know anything about the art of entertainment or broadcasting, they automatically think that it is what it is. Well, it ain't. But you're going to have to sue these people, and the guy that you sue is this jackass, Jace, I think you gave me the guy's name, Jack Huebman. And he wrote a book called 101 People Who Are Really Screwing America, and Mr. Huberman, there it is, Huberman, this guy wrote a book saying that Limbaugh made these statements about, for instance, Godspeed, James Earl Ray, you ought to be given a Medal of Honor, and that the only, that slavery wasn't all that bad. I mean, after all, it was safe to walk after dark. Huberman is making these claims, and the people that are saying that Limbaugh said these things are not citing Limbaugh, they're citing this guy Huberman. All right. In fact, I just read a sports writer in, I think, one of the Atlanta papers who said, because he was backing off, I got my quote from this guy, Jack Huberman. Well, now, isn't that interesting? It's very fascinating to me how many of these people are now all of a sudden running for cover. Oh, well, I got, well, they see the guy that I got down there. Well, did you hear him say it? Oh, no, I'm sure he said it, though. Well, how do you know he said it? Well, Jack Huberman said, oh, well, now, Jack Huberman said. So the first thing you do then, Rush, is you shut this guy Huberman down, like right now, so that he's eating cat food for the rest of his life. So you attach every earning this man ever has for the rest of his life until it comes to the approximate amount that you would have seen as an owner of a National Football League team. Huberman may be working for the rest of his life. His offspring, his generations as yet unborn, may be working for the rest of their lives for you because Jack Huberman is full of hooey. Okay? That's what you do. Otherwise, you got nothing, man. And you can't ask anybody to believe you. You can't ask anybody to go to bat for you. You got to sue these people. You got to find out where the originating point is of these quotes, and you've got to shut their asses down. I mean, you have got to cut the knees out from underneath them. Otherwise, you got nothing. And they have just spread these things about you, and for all we know, they're true. Now, I know it sucks, but that's how it works. That's how it works, see? When it comes to a civil case, yes, you are guilty until proven innocent. You have to go out and prove. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. We'll get to your phone calls on Balloon Boy. We have Don Berman coming up at the top of the hour about this child. And then, of course, Doug Danger later on in the program. Meghan McCain published a photograph of her very large breasts on Twitter not the entire package. They were covered up, obviously, by a very low-cut dress. But there's the picture there, bud.
Yeah, she's fat.
Why do you say she's fat?
That's how fat girls get people to look at them, by squeezing them together like that and everything.
Man, you an idiot.
Why?
Anyway, we'll be back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
You're listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
He's a racist. I hate him.
It's the Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL. My good friend, Mr. Ralph Rodriguez, our technical director, he said, you know, Henry, you got close. That's what he said. He said, you said no scrambling. And you see, you're right. But Kenny Stabler, I said, boy, you caught me. He said, no. By 78, when Stabler won the Super Bowl with the Raiders, his knees had been blasted to pieces of just thin, beef jerky. So he was a pocket passer by the 78 Super Bowl. So there, I mean, it's true. No scrambling quarterback, although Stabler did start his career as a scrambling quarterback. Anyway. 877-876-PHIL. By the way, Jack Huberman, the guy who said that Rush said all this stuff that he said, just to you, if you want to know what kind of so-called journalist this guy is, here's a sampling of his books. The Bush Hater's Handbook, A Guide to the Most Appalling Presidency of the Past 100 Years, which also shows you what kind of a historian he is. The GOP Hater's Handbook, 378 Reasons Never to Vote for the Party of Reagan, Nixon, and Bush Again. And then a book called Bush It, which is an A to Z guide to the Bush attack on truth, justice, equality, and the American way. So naturally, there's an objectivity there, I was going to say, that is just astounding. And
holy boobs!
Anyway, let's go to a phone call. We've got Jeff in Allentown. No, not Jeff. Hold the line for just a quick second here, Jeff. Let me go over to Andre in Fort Lauderdale. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. Andre, what's going on?
Hey, how you doing, Phil?
I'm fine, thank you.
Good, good, good. I'm just calling to comment on Rush Limbaugh and your views on it.
Yes, sir.
I mean, I've never heard the man say it, the N-word ever, so I just never heard him say that. So, but it doesn't take a genius to put one and one together to come up with two. Everything he says, his whole career is based on being divisive and talking about minorities in a bad light.
Wow, that's a really big statement. I think, if I could just say this.
Yes, sir.
Rush is a old line conservative. I say old line conservative. He's actually a new line conservative, but he's a conservative. And conservatism in America emerged from what was perceived as the tax and spend governments of Democrats. Much of that had to do with Lyndon Johnson's Great Society, and much of that had to do with lifting up the life condition of people who were not doing well in our country, and many of them were black. So, we have this connection between conservatives and the life condition of black people in America that doesn't appear to be positive, and I think people want to say it's racist. The conservative philosophy really has nothing to do with race. It has to do, however, with less government and more individual initiative. That's what they would tell you. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's intellectually disciplined to automatically conclude that if you are against a large government program designed to help people with a low life condition who happen to be black, I don't think it's very honest to say that's racism so much as it's a consistent philosophy about large government. Now, with Barack Obama being president, we got another problem. The idolatry on the part of some who believe they knew what Barack Obama was talking about and they voted for him. I voted for Barack Obama, but he hasn't disappointed me at all. I see him as a pragmatic man, and a lot of people think he's a sellout. And then, of course, the conservatives think that he is just some kind of a dog on a liberal leash being held by Nancy Pelosi. But be that as it may, people say that that's racist to describe him that way, you know.
Well, and you know what, that may be wrong too, but I mean, it comes back to you are who you hang out with, and you know that. You've heard that before, I'm quite sure, and you probably told your family that, you know. But if you hang out with people like Rush Limbaugh, not you per se, but like these other owners, as far as the St. Louis Rams. I mean, you're going to be perceived as this type of a person. You know what I mean?
I don't disagree. I don't disagree. Yeah, I don't disagree with you. I think that the NFL needs to protect its business. Yeah.
Exactly. And I know we use the word that Rush Limbaugh is an entertainer, and he is. He's definitely an entertainer. But there's also a different kind of an entertainer. You can't just be an entertainer and constantly say bad things about a certain race or any other minorities and constantly think that's okay. I just don't understand that. And call
well, a jury would probably hear you. A jury might hear your argument and say the following. Mr. Limbaugh never made the specific statements that have been attributed to him. However, Mr. Limbaugh's position as a national voice expressing views such as these, he can't really prove these damages because even though he didn't say these things they said he said, these other things that he has said over the years tend to make his reputation one of an individual who is that kind of contrarian person. And so therefore, we don't find damages. I mean, that's possible. It could happen. We'll talk about it more. Andre, thanks so much for your call. I appreciate it, man. We'll be back with Don Berman, Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.